Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales sitting in, filling in for Jhené Egbuemeke today. We're excited to talk to Q Rich, Quentin Richardson, NBA vet, in just about a 10-minute time period here about what we've seen so far, because we got a 2-2 NBA Finals at this point. And Trev, we had spent so much time in this series, I hadn't even looked up to realize, because I think sometimes we get used to this where we see different teams winning the games, but we forget to look. Last night in the second half was the first time I believe we had had a second half lead change so far in this series. So for as competitive as it had looked in the win-loss column, last night was probably the most competitive start-to-finish game that we had got from these two.
Yeah, I think everybody was engaged finally through the end of the tilt, right? Like, that was the first time where we felt we had to actually kind of be there and witness what exactly was going to bear out, because yeah, like you said, these have been doorsings by each of these teams on their home courts for the most part. Now we got ourselves in a situation where it was actually something where there was controversy at the end. We had refs to be angry at the end, calls to dispute. So that was like a refreshing sort of deal to where we had conversation about the nuances within the game.
Yeah, that was, my God, the officials for, I think, the first time, because we had had this conversation, John Barry, our ESPN NBA analyst who's been on the calls on ESPN Radio, that you've heard, came on with us yesterday and said, when asked, that he didn't think that the officials had played an outsized role in games 1-3, because we had heard from Mike Budenholzer, we had heard from Monty Williams, the coaches of the Bucks and Suns respectively, complaining about the officiating in favor of their team in game 3. Giannis had more free throw attempts than the entire Suns team. The refs must have heard, because last night they decided that, oh, no, no, we are going to get our shine in this series, because even if we were to take out the glaring miss of a no-call on a 5-foul Devin Booker late in that game that should have had him sitting down much sooner than he did, Trev, it still felt like the officials were at every turn in this series. When a play was getting ready to be made, there was a whistle to be had, and quite frankly, Adam Silver owes the Bucks at least an edible arrangement for bailing him out on that.
Without question. There were two instances that I can even think of. There was one call in which, and this is like one of those speed of the game misses where Giannis didn't quite take the ball all the way out. He was like halfway inbounds,
halfway out of it.
Bro, that's one of those things. But then there was the call towards the end of the game where it was a blatant trap by Phoenix, but no one touched the person who had gotten the ball inbound to him on Milwaukee. No one touched him. Whistle blows. Foul, we get two shots at the end of the game. It was just call after call after that, like that really made you wonder, like, why are we now having to talk about y'all? Y'all have been so good, and now there's all of a sudden all kinds of can't get right in y'all's whistles.
You be ever so quiet and ever so still right now, officials, because we don't want to talk about them anymore. What I do want to talk about, though, is what we've dealt with Chris Paul in this series, and we know it's been trending in a very poor direction for him. Critical turnovers late in the game last night. Trev, how confident are you? We're heading back to Phoenix for game 5 coming up this weekend here, that Chris Paul can turn this around, because this series has looked like a steady trend line down for one of the best point guards that we've ever seen.
I have faith that he will turn it around. It won't be what we saw from the end of him. Excuse me, from the end of the Western Conference Finals from him in 40-point performances offense. I just think it will be a lot less bad. He's so hyper-aware and will tweak to the point where he will cut down on turnovers. We talked about it ad nauseum. The amount of turnovers that he's had in the first 4 games of this series is incredibly, like, it's out of character for him. I think that that gets corrected when he goes back home. There isn't necessarily as much that he has to be concerned about with regards to the minds of his teammates even, right? Like, that is a burden that has added when it's a lot of his teammates first time on the road in the NBA Finals. There's also a sort of mental gymnastics that he has to do in order to keep everybody right to an extent. So that is now alleviated. They're back at the crib. Everybody's done this song and dance before. Okay, I can now lock in on what I know I needed to cut down on to start this series.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on that, because forget even the finals. Postseason experience in general has been an area that him, Jay Crowder, the few guys that do have experience, have had to prep them for. Now, I can give you one reason to feel confident in Chris Paul going into Game 5, especially. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, because the question that we have to answer first and foremost is health. Monty Williams, his head coach last night, got asked after the game if he thought that Chris was 100% healthy. Here's what he had to say.
He's fine. You know, great players have games like that. We expect him to bounce back. You know, he had five, but we had 17, and they scored 24 points. You know what I mean? That was pretty much the game right there. And then you double that up with the offensive rebounding. So it wasn't just Chris. As a team tonight, we got to take better care of the ball.
And Monty Williams laid all that out for his team. We heard the soundbite from his locker room after the game. But this is the stat that should give any Suns fan confidence. That's why I still look at the series. I said Suns in seven. I know you said Suns in six. Why you can still feel good about that. Kyle Sopp, one of our great researchers here in ESPN Stats and Info, shot me this note. The last time Chris Paul lost consecutive playoff games was games 2 and 3 against the Lakers in this postseason, the first round. He followed that with an 18-point, 9-assist, 0-turnover game in Los Angeles. His last five home playoff games, 23 points a night with 4.6 assists per turnover. That is what we're used to with Chris Paul, and that's the still thing. Again, if I'm betting the averages in this series, and we look around and we try and gauge who we can count on and when, Devin Booker last night, closer to the mean than we would normally get here. One of the best tough shot makers for my money. It's the most Kobe Bryant-esque things about him for a guy that he emulates. But I said, the floor of this Suns team gets set by Chris Paul. And when that foundation cracked late last night, they lost a close game. I don't think that happens anymore, even if Chris Paul is nursing a little bit of something that we won't hear about till after this series.
Yeah, we're looking at not a regression, but a progression to the mean, right? Like, there is a making up to do of sorts for Chris Paul, and that's what you expect. It's not necessarily that you hope that he has some offensive explosion akin to Devin Booker's, because you know that's not what you're leaning on Chris Paul for. You're just leaning on him to guide, to facilitate, to be the point guard in an offense that needs badly offensive distribution so that that's not a supreme imbalance. 42 points from Devin Booker and 15 points from Jay Crowder being the chasm between 1 and 2 on your scores, that's not what you can have. You need Chris Paul to cut down on the turnovers and put guys in position to be much more productive so that the offense as a whole looks better, not just Devin Booker.
Yeah, he's got to be the governor on this thing, and I know we've talked about it. I don't want it to seem like a pace of play conversation because we know that's come up with Chris a lot and this Suns roster, but it's got to be the little moments out there where he's expected to come in and grab hold of the steering wheel. And last night we saw him swerve quite literally and fall to the ground, while on the other side, we were watching Drew Holiday, who didn't have a night like he did in Game 3 where he shot 50% from beyond the arc. But in critical moments, defensively, we know he's always going to show up. And when it came down to that final stretch of the game and there were loose balls all over the place, Drew Holiday was constantly the one on the other side being able to scoop that up, wheel it back out, and say, hey, let's slow down here. Let's make sure we don't lose composure in this moment. And normally, that's why we've lionized Chris Paul so much during this postseason run and said, for as talented as this Suns team is, for as much promise as they showed last year, this guy was the difference maker for this entire season and postseason run, and that shouldn't stop now just because this has gotten off on the wrong foot.
DeAndre Ayton has said it himself that he is the reason that Chris Paul is the reason that he has had a sort of coming of age in this postseason, where we've looked at him as like, my goodness, this big man is actually within reach of the pantheon of like the upper tier of bigs in the NBA. And he's right there and he's 22 years old. And he gives all of the credit to kind of learning and adjusting to the speed of the game to Chris Paul. So when you know that centerpiece, that person in your organization leans on Chris the way that he does, you have to expect that just about everybody on that roster has the exact same reliability on him.
Yes, he's been that central like father figure, coach figure, whatever it is for this entire very young Suns roster. But coming up next, we talk so much about grabbing the wheel. Who's got control of this NBA Finals series? We'll find out next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The two X factors are Drew Holiday and Chris Paul. You're not exactly sure what you are going to get offensively from those two.
But the only way we can win this series is to get a win on the road. So we got to find a way to get this one next.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, filling in for Chinay Agwemeke here on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, we'll get to a little bit of baseball. The reason that you are hearing us right now is because of something that's gone on in the world of Major League Baseball. And so we'll visit in on that in about 10 minutes here. But when we're talking NBA Finals, we got to bring in our next guest. Quentin Richardson, former NBA vet, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Q Rich, what's going on, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you coming by, man. And we were just talking about Game 4, Chris Paul, the struggles down the stretch that everyone's been discussing today. For you, you've seen so much of Chris Paul's career, all 16 years that he's been around in the league. When you watched him last night, did it look like something was off with him physically? What did you attribute those struggles to?
Right now, I didn't see anything personally that jumped out at me and said that he was hurt. I did think that, you know, that he was getting kind of worn down from a lot of the, you know, heavy minutes and the wear and tear from the previous series. But, this is part of the game at this point. I think he'll be ready to go in game five.
When it comes to deciphering performances, I think Giannis's comes to mind as well. What do you attribute his success, his Shaq-like numbers, to within that offense?
His relentlessness, man. I think that's the one thing that I love and admire about Giannis and his approach to the game is that whether he's struggling, whether whatever is going on, you never see him not play hard. And I think that's what we're seeing, him just continues to, you know, to bang on that door. And he's not taking no for an answer, man. It's admirable to see how hard he's playing and how hard he's competing. And yeah, everybody talks about the lack of jump shot or whatever, but that's not stopping him from doing what he needs to do to help his team win.
Yeah, what is Phoenix supposed to do with him firing like this? Like, defensively, how do you approach a player like that who's just such a physical unicorn on a tear like this?
It's tough. I'm telling you, that's one of the toughest things to defend somebody who's relentless the way he is. I mean, much like Russell Westbrook, that's why he's so hard to defend at times, because when you look at Giannis, he gets the rebound, he's coming at you full speed ahead downhill, then he's euro stepping or he's spinning, he's doing whatever he needs to do, whether he's backing people in. I've just seen him in numerous different ways just getting to the rim and getting to the paint and not taking no for an answer.
How do you then balance that then with, okay, I gotta lock in on Giannis, we gotta stop him, oh, Chris Middleton just dropped 40 on us? Like, how do you then balance your defensive approach to make sure you cover all your bases?
I mean, it's tough, but I mean, that's why these are the teams that's in the championship. These are, you know, they got great coaching, they got great staff, they got great personnel, and then this is what must be done. I mean, at the same time, you look on the flip side of it, DeAndre Ayton has to stay out of foul trouble, but I mean, you attribute some of those fouls to the relentlessness of a Giannis coming into that paint, and it's the big fella Ayton's job to protect the paint. So all of these things are intangible and go together. And I think also, you know, when you look at what's going on with Chris Paul, Drew Holiday has a lot to do with that. Drew Holiday, he's a very, very imposing defensive player, especially for guards of Chris Paul's size. I think, you know, bigger guards can kind of handle him a little bit better, but he's tough for anybody. And I think somebody at Chris Paul's size, he can cause problems for him at times.
Chinay Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales talking to Quentin Richardson, former NBA vet, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And the Suns' backcourt, we got to talk about Devin Booker, has a big bounce-back game in Game 4. Q, we've heard him talk so much and so glowingly about how he revered Kobe Bryant. Is there an aspect of their games that's most similar to you? Is there something that Devin Booker does that reminds you at all of Kobe on the court?
I think his demeanor and his approach to the game. I mean, if you look at him and you look at everything that goes with him, it's not a lot of razzle dazzle. You know what I'm saying? He's to the point. He's focused on the game. You don't see him, like, even when he's playing well, you don't see him showboating or doing anything. And I'm a person who I celebrate it, so I'm not saying it in a bad way about showboating, but I'm just saying when you look at how Kobe played, Kobe could go out there and be getting off and have 30, 40, and he ain't really said much of a word. He might shoot looks and do this or that, but Booker kind of reminds me of him in that respect, that when he gets going, he's just going. He's not out there like a lot of the guys with all of the different shoes and sneakers. He's wearing the same pair of kicks every game, and he's showing up about business, and he's really serious about hoop. That's what I love about him.
Yeah, Mike and I are both here for stunting on people in any way you so choose.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And he's not having none of that. And, you know, he's one of the up-and-coming superstars. So I know when it comes to the kicks and some of that different stuff, he could have all that stuff. But when it comes to the court and hooping, he keep it straight there. I love it.
Well, Q, what's the more frustrating player to deal with? The player who's going to be in your ear wearing you out and let you know it, or someone like Booker or Kawhi? Why? Who's just going to give you that cold, dead stare?
For me personally, I think it's a situational basis. Different people, you know, different things make them tick. For me, I think it would be that person who said nothing. I always, throughout my career, I found it hard to play my complete and total, you know, Chicago style game against the real nice guys that weren't going to say nothing. And I couldn't, you know what I'm saying? I needed somebody to do a little something, to say a little something, to bump me the wrong way so I could get that edge and really get into it. But if it's like if I'm playing like an Allen Houston, bro, I can't say nothing to Allen Houston. He's one of the greatest people ever. Like, you're not going to get into it with Allen Houston. You know what I'm saying? That's just the example. But, like, yeah, I think those type of people were worse for me, the ones that didn't say anything. Because somebody going to say something, I could get back with you when you're doing that. But when you're not saying nothing, it's like, damn. What do I do?
It's like Andrew Luck giving the guys attaboys after right. They sack him coming off the pile. It's like, I can't work with this. I don't know. Trying to hurt you.
When
it comes to dealing with dynamics within your own roster, right? So Chris Paul's got us known to be the coach on the floor, right? And an extension of Monty Williams. What is it like to have a veteran or to be the veteran amongst young cats that is there to kind of coach people up in experiences that they haven't necessarily had yet?
When you got a person like Chris Paul, like I said, the right person in that position, the Chris Pauls, the Udonis Haslams of the world is out there doing it, I think it's the best thing. And I think you see those, you know, the payoff in those organizations and with those teams that have those guys like that. But it all goes hand in hand, I think. You see this team, they know who Chris Paul is and they know the value that he has. So he has their ear, and I think it's paid off tremendously. But sometimes it could be a rough road when you have guys like that. If some guys don't want to be as receptive and things like that. But I think this has been the absolute perfect storm for, you know, Chris Paul to come in and display what type of a basketball genius he really is, because he really is a person who's he's special at leading a group of players and leading a team and not just with numbers, but what his impact does within that team is huge. And you can't really put a tally on it, but it's a huge deal.
Yeah, with him and Monty, they've got special leadership on that team, and it's shown up time and time again. Q, we always appreciate you giving us some time and catching up, man. Enjoy the rest of the series. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Yes, sir, fellas, anytime.
Quentin Richardson, again, NBA vet, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, wherever you get your podcast, kind enough to join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next, though, we mentioned we were not supposed to be on air right now. What has happened in Major League Baseball that made that so? And what do we have to look forward to with one of the biggest teams in sports for the back half of this season? Next year on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, filling in for Janae Aguimake today. Check out Sports Nation on ESPN Plus right here where you're watching us. It's all the more reason to download.
Stick around. Just stick around.
Just hang out here all the time. Never leave ESPN Plus, ever. Not even if there's a fire.
Do that.
All right, I'm just kidding. Yeah, leave if that happens here. Yeah. But the reason you are seeing us right now on ESPN Plus, listen to us on ESPN Radio, is because of the news we've gotten out of Major League Baseball. The Boston Red Sox at Yankees game was postponed after three Yankees tested positive for COVID-19. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman said that three additional tests were pending, and he assumed that they would come back positive. And so the Yankees said all three of these players were fully vaccinated, as are most of the players on the team. But we know that does not preclude you from getting the virus. It just makes sure to mitigate the effects, make sure that you're not feeling any of the more dire things that can come from this. And so we still need to talk about some baseball. And to do that, we're going to get some help. Will Middlebrooks, World Series champion from 2013. CBS Sports baseball analyst and host of the Wake and Rake podcast joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Will, how you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? You got me? I'm in Florida. I'm not sure about my service here. We can't really have nice things.
We understand it. Listen, I live in Bristol, Connecticut, so Lord knows the nice things don't make their way up here either, Will. But hopefully they can make their way into the second half of the season. So we're coming out of the All-Star break here. And, Will, looking at this Yankees team right now, we know a lot of it has been about turmoil for them going into this All-Star team. So where do you think they get to as we get towards this season, whether it's as buyers, sellers? What do you look as the outlook of the Yankees heading into the second half?
Yeah, I mean, they should be disappointed. They have second best odds to win the World Series this year, and they're 8 back. So they have tons of talent. They didn't really know what they were going to have with their pitching. They knew their offense was supposed to be really good, but if you look at their lineup, it's really right-handed heavy in a stadium that's built tailored to lefties, which doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But moving forward, I don't think they can be sellers for one reason. They don't really have – you look at Aaron Judge. You can't trade Aaron Judge. He's your best player. Stanton, no one wants that contract. No one wants Chapman's contract. And then your second-tier talent, Clint Frazier and Duhar, Gleyber Torres, they've had down years. Their trade value is down. You don't want to trade them now and get nothing in return. So I think they're going to be buyers. This next two-week period in which they play the Red Sox 8 times is going to be very telling of how aggressive they're going to be. I think they need help with their starting pitching. Corey Kluber's future is pretty uncertain right now. Teon, Herman, they've been super inconsistent. So I could see him going and maybe getting outfield help as well. Joey Gallo, Kyle Gibson, maybe a package deal with the Rangers makes a lot of sense. I would feel like they would have to give up their entire farm system for that, and it makes sense as far as their list of needs.
Now, when it comes to looking for help, I imagine Shohei Ohtani is looking for a little bit out there in Anaheim. Put on quite the display for All-Star festivities, right? Like doing what he did in the first round of the Home Run Derby was nothing to sneeze at. And then comes out, starting pitcher, goes 1-2-3 in the inning, throws triple digits a couple times too. Just a marvel to watch. But with regards to Shohei specifically, what is one thing that you appreciated most out of the display that he put on during the All-Star break?
The fact that I don't have to pick one thing, the fact that he does it all. Like, this is baseball needed this right now. There's a very young group of faces of the game right now. The Tatis, the Sotos, Guerrero, obviously Shohei. We're really lucky to have all these players right in front of us right now. This is maybe the most athletic group of baseball players this game has ever seen all at one time. But as far as Shohei goes, he's playing at the pinnacle of the sport. He's playing in Major League Baseball, and he is playing it like a really good high school player on both sides of the ball. You don't see that even in college, really. Just a handful of guys are able to do that at the Division I level. And then he's in the big leagues doing. I mean, he leads the league in homers by 5. He goes out and throws 100. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing. And like I said, it's just really good for the game because it's not only bringing more fans from United States. This is worldwide. He's from Japan. He's a foreign player. He is famous everywhere right now, and it's bringing more eyes to our game.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to World Series champ Will Middlebrooks on the Goodyear Hotline. And it has taken a lot of the conversation away from the other thing that we were talking about before that, which was all the sticky stuff Major League Baseball was trying to weed out. Will, how do you think second half of the year now they go about enforcing all this? We saw the big song and dance, the show of it, pitchers dropping trout at the mound here. What do you think this looks like from the umpire standpoint, from everybody else, as we get to the second half and enforcement here?
More of the same. I mean, I don't think you're going to see many guys get caught. Even with the Santiago in Seattle, when they caught him, that just kind of disappeared. We haven't heard anything else about it. They were supposed to, like, study the substance and all this, and we haven't really heard much else about it. I think pitchers are going to have to just make an adjustment. They already are. You saw Gerrit Cole come out against the Astros last Saturday in Houston and throw a complete game with 12 punchies. Like, okay, he's still capable of it with sticky stuff or not. So I think there was just a transition period, a buffer period where guys had to figure out how they are going to grip the ball. Sticky stuff's been around forever. I think, in my personal opinion, and most hitters, 90% of hitters, that's just the number I'm going to throw out there, will say sunscreen and rosin was never an issue and it shouldn't be an issue. Guys throw really hard now. I wouldn't want to get hit by it. I don't want to get hit by 100 in the head. It's not fun. So I want guys to have grip. I think sunscreen and rosin totally fine now. Spider tack, pelican grip, whatever concoctions they're coming up with in these clubhouses. There's no place in the game for that. You don't need it for performance enhancing as far as getting an increase of spin rate on your fastball. You'll need a 200 to 500 RPM jump. If you want it for grip, like sunscreen and rosin, I think that's completely fair game, and that's been around for a long time.
Now, I imagine you spend quite a bit of time in the shower if you use that sunscreen rosin afterwards trying to get that stuff off of you, which leads me to my question. Will, your thoughts on 3-1, just all, a catch-all solution to get your hair washed in condition and your body wash in. I will forewarn you that there is an incorrect answer to this here question. And
Will,
don't let him color
this question right now. Where are you at on the 2-1, 3-1 body washes here? Unbiased, uncolored here as we go into this question.
I might actually blow your mind here. So we have Publix down here. I ran to Publix the other day. I needed to get some body wash. I like Irish Spring. I'm old school. I like that. So I grabbed the Irish Spring, not the bar, the bottle of body wash, right? And I get home, and it says 5-1.
Oh, my God.
Five. Bro, listen. Shampoo, I'm trying to remember, conditioner, body, face, and I'm pretty sure it says deodorizer, which I think all those deodorize because they all make you smell good. But I didn't mean to grab it. I've never been a multiple-in-one type body wash hair guy, but I like it. I'm not mad about it.
There we go. No. There we go. See it. No. Don't you play that for him. Don't you play that for him.
Yes.
Will, I'm glad you spoke your truth because you didn't anticipate this, but you ended up finding love in a hopeless place, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Can I just say my wife has so much crap in the shower, and I just have one bottle now.
See? Will, you be better served.
Economy of space.
No. What you do is you kind of tap into what she got going on. Like, use the shower scrub every now and again. Get your little softening lotion in shower stuff going on. And you might mess around and find something you like, Will. And that's the beauty of finding other products that are that serve one purpose at a time.
I like simplicity. All right. I got a 2.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. I don't have time to be conditioning, reconditioning, blow drying. I need to get it in and out and go keep my kids alive.
Will Middlebrooks is a man of efficiency. He is a man of great taste. He's a World Series champion and an MLB analyst. And Will, we appreciate you stopping by and giving us some time today, man. We'll talk to you real soon. All right.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
An enlightened individual, Will Middlebrooks, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next, though, we have to get to a very important list and one of the more shocking developments in cohabitating shower history. That's next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our thanks to Quentin Richardson, NBA vet, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, and Will Middlebrooks, former major leaguer, World Series champion with the Red Sox, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline today. If you missed any of that, check out the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get those. And don't forget to tune into the Janae podcast hosted by our very own Janae Agwemeke and fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Wherever the path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Our thanks to Trevor Scales, who you guys can catch on Sports Nation on ESPN Plus each and every day. And before we get to a special list edition of Keep That Same Energy for the block heard around the world from Giannis Antetokounmpo, we have spent so much time talking about the 3-in-1 hair shampoo body wash products today, their appropriate use. And we're sitting around here, and man, God love her, it has been so fun having our friend Katie Hennessy here today. Here, she's been hanging out with us. She does a great job helping us get all sorts of awesome guests in here. She's back in Bristol for the first time in a while. But we were talking about this, and Katie mentioned that not only in her household, in her marital household, did the 3-in-1 shampoo get thrown out here, but Katie, you have taken extra measures to ensure that your husband also is not graying early here. Can you explain to me the warfare going on in your shower at home?
Yeah, so the shared shower situation that couples go through, not only did that 2-in-1 have to go, secretly I started adding some hair dye to the brand new shampoo that I purchased for my husband.
God. She's just looking out.
I I mean, honestly, that feels like love. Like, yes, that feels like a different kind of love.
We're leveling up, right? Like, we're joining things together. We're getting rid of things we no longer need. The two-in-one's got to go. And, you know, love a salt and pepper look, but let's keep it a little more polished.
Nothing wrong with that.
Man, I would say, Trev, you're getting ready to get engaged right now. If you found out that the missus was sneaking hair dye into your shampoo.
I would appreciate the look because she knows your boy has a very visual job. And also, look, I've bit off of her style and a couple things. I kind of put her on game, too, when it comes to the hygienic basis. So, no, we good with it.
Wow. You know what? We learn a lot around here today. Today has been a show about growth, about leveling up. So we thank Katie for sharing that tip that hopefully other people out there, maybe listening to this, might be able to try at home here. One thing you sure as hell won't be able to do at home is block DeAndre Ayton in the manner that Giannis Antetokounmpo did last night. In honor of the block heard around the world, we've got a special 444 edition of Keep That Same Energy here. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
And in keeping that same energy, we're also giving you, for those watching on ESPN Plus, our 444 top four blocks in honor of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the block heard around the world. Trevor, you ready? We're going to go 4-1 on this.
Dig that. Let's go.
You and I have each made these separate lists. Cliff?
Number four.
I'm going to start this off. I went number four, building blocks. Shout out to Legos, the childhood wonders that you played with as kids and that you step on as adults here. I still think a remarkable amount of joy coming from those.
I imagine the stepping on factor is what knocked them down to four. In at number four for me, 5'9", 190 is what I played at in college. Cut blocks were my friends. So number four is cut blocks for your boy. It was chopping down the tree that were defensive ends, nine techniques, anything that my coach irresponsibly sent my way in pass protection.
Not smart protections, but a smart solution to it. Let's hit number three.
Number three.
Back for this one here to celebrate someone that we've lost along the way here. Shout out to Blockbuster Videos.
Yeah.
Holding it down. Video rental stores back in the day. Shout out to First Run Video, my family owned in Orlando for a little while here, but Blockbuster, a bygone era.
Nice little stroll through the aisles, picking up your movie on a Friday night. In at number three for me, social media blocks. And let's go ahead and expand that to the block of the telemarketer that called and tried to aggressively offer you an extended warranty on your vehicle. Get them all up out of the paint very quickly.
Bye-bye. Number two.
Number two.
You talk about your playing days, my offensive line days at Notre Dame here. I'm going to get real specific. My block versus Oklahoma in 2012, we ran a play called Georgia Cold. It was a one-back power to the left. I pulled, kicked out the end. Our running back scrambled 50 yards for a touchdown there as we handed, I think, what was the probably fifth loss at home in the Bob Stoops era at Oklahoma. So run and tell that.
No, I love the idea of nostalgia, and I love a good gap run scheme. You will not ever find anything better in that regard for me. Number two, the absolutely insane and just 1,000% goaltending blocks that occurred on NBA Street. They just jump up midair, snatch the ball down. It was reckless.
Reckless, disgusting, but God, so satisfying. That leaves us with
number one.
I mean, it's fun that we wanted to bring it up in this conversation with Giannis, but it's still the reigning undefeated champion of the world. LeBron James, the chase down off the backboard block against the 73-9 Golden State Warriors in the finals.
Love that block by James will be a forever remembered call. And for me, the track "All My Block" by Scarface is going to round this thing out for me. It is just a fantastic song by any measure.
That is how you get it done. Keep That Same Energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life here. Those are the blocks that you guys need in your day here. Trev, we appreciate you coming by, spending so much time with us today.
It's all mine. As always, big dog.
We appreciate everyone who supported our strange conversations about 3-in-1 body wash and shampoo.
Coming Don't up use
next,
that.
Stick around here. Don't use that. But listen to Spain and Fitzsimmons next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.